not in the right order. I say to my God, you guys know this one.
Are you not working?
Oh, I'm staring. No, I'm just staring. Was it you, sir?
No, it was a nervous man.
Okay, my Savior, my God, you guys know this one.
Can I join you?
Sure, by all means.
Do you have the words for that one?
Yeah, it's on the back.
I am not skilled to understand.
We keep it over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we'll move it when you speak. Because that way people can pass it through without.
I only know that is right.
Oh, okay.
I love you.
Thank you very much, Kitty, for that wonderful singing.
Beautiful singing.
You.
Blessings.
Amen.
Well, in late May of 2010, Tropical Storm Agatha hit Central America, producing torrential rains and landslides. Once it finished its course, a 200-foot deep sinkhole opened in downtown Guatemala City. Imagine that happening here in downtown Denver. Well, this sinkhole caused the ground to collapse suddenly, sucking land, electric poles, a three-story building into the depths of the air. Just late last year, also, a Florida man lost his life when a sinkhole opened under his house and his entire house was swallowed up. He went to bed and was buried in that sinkhole, never again to be recovered. A sad scene, a sad situation. Well, those sinkholes, which many of us may have experienced, can be devastating. The most universal and damaging sinkhole is the one that occurs within the human heart. King David was an example of this. You see, at a certain critical time in David's life, the surface of his life looked stable, all smooth and sound. However, his interior life rested on a fragile foundation. You see, a spiritual sinkhole was developing in David's heart. After his sins of adultery and murder, David thought he had successfully hidden his treacherous acts. How many of you here have tried to do that? I have tried to do it. Well, back to David. He thought he was successful in concealing his sins. However, God's intense conviction after Nathan's confrontation caused him to realize that denying the presence of his sin, of the sin in his life, weakened actually the foundation of his spiritual life. To prevent this spiritual sinkhole that was developing in his heart from worsening, David acknowledged his sin to God in repentance. As a result, God covered David's sin and gave him something special. Do you know what that something special is? The joy of forgiveness. We too can experience the joy of forgiveness when we confess our sins to God. He will completely forgive and cover our spiritual sinkholes as he did for David. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at such a time as this. Will you please listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth in order to conform or to transform genuine born-again believers in Jesus Christ more into that glorious image of Jesus Christ, and also to turn lost sinners from their sin of unbelief to true personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, God's one and only perfect sacrifice and solution for our sin problem. So here then is the message in a nutshell. Will you please listen carefully to it with an open heart and an open mind? It's a simple message. You've heard it before, but tonight you are hearing it again. God, listen, faithfully and fully forgives those who honestly and humbly confess their sins to Him. I tell you, friends, God is a forgiving God. How many of you believe that? I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I would not be here today among you. I believe God is a forgiving God. God wants to forgive sinners, as we sang in our song. Forgiveness has always been part of His loving nature. You are going to see this for yourself in a new light tonight. So please, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn them to Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5. Would you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible? The Bible says, listen carefully now. The Bible says, a psalm of David, a maskil. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add His blessing to the recital of His holy word. Well, this psalm, Psalm 32, has been classified as one of the penitential psalms. There are six of them. Actually, seven of them. Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, 51, 102, Psalm 130, and 143 are all called penitential psalms. The key feature of the penitential psalms, that is, the psalm of repentance or confession, is the psalmist's repentance over his own sins and failures. He acknowledges his guilt. Most of the penitential psalms are written by David. Two of them, we don't know who wrote them. So the psalmist acknowledges his guilt before the Lord and recognizes his need for God's favor and forgiveness. In fact, over the centuries, many believers, overcome by an awareness of their own sins, have found in the words of the penitential psalms a ray of hope. And my prayer tonight is that you will find in this psalm that we are going to look at a ray of hope for your own life. The psalmist, because there the psalmist shared with God both the depth of their sorrow and repentance, as well as the height of joy at being forgiven. They rejoiced in the knowledge that God would respond to confession and repentance with complete forgiveness. Now, we who live on the other side of the cross of Christ can rejoice even more. Why? Because we understand more. God has shown us that He's willing to forgive because His judgment on our sin was satisfied on the cross when Jesus died on the cross. We have that story before us. When David confessed his sin, he didn't know of Jesus dying on the cross for the full payment of his sins. But you and I today have the story about Jesus' death on the cross to pay, to satisfy the sin debt that stood against us. Among the penitent short psalms, Psalm 32 and 51 stand as confessional giants. I tell you folks, if you truly want the Holy Spirit to teach you about true confession, I'm not talking about fake confession. I'm talking about true confession. If you want the Holy Spirit to teach you about true confession, prayerfully read and respond to these psalms. That is Psalm 32 and 51, and respond to the lessons in these psalms. Actually, the overall thrust of Psalm 32 may simply be summarized as follows. And that is life's most important lessons about sin, about confession, about forgiveness are skillfully shared here by David. Through the Holy Spirit, David calls us to the duties of remembering the lessons of forgiveness and relaying these lessons of forgiveness to others. That is why the superscription of Psalm 32 is stated as a maskil. Every word in that psalm is very important. A maskil means a contemplative poem or a psalm of understanding or a skillful psalm. It's a psalm that calls us to put on our thinking caps because God wants us to think as well as receive the lessons that are preserved there in that psalm for us to understand what he teaches about conversion, about forgiveness, and about our sins. So now, what are the lessons to remember and relate to others? So tonight, one of your jobs or duties is to remember the lessons of forgiveness that we are going to learn in this psalm. And then another duty for you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is to relay these lessons to others. You can tell them, hey, this is how God forgives. This is how God forgave David. And he can do that for you because he did it for David and for me. So the first lesson the Holy Spirit is so eager to impress upon our hearts focuses on the proclamation of the blessedness of forgiveness in verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32 begins with the celebration of the joy of the man who experiences forgiveness. Will you please listen again to what David says here in the Holy Spirit? He says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You can say that a forgiven sinner is one who is walking on air or is walking on cloud nine. If you really experience forgiveness, that's the feeling you have. Because that's the feeling David is communicating to us here when he begins this song with a burst of joy. How blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Now, here we have a joyful proclamation of the blissful state of those who experience God's forgiveness. David is exclaiming with everything within him. I know when you experience something exciting, everything within you You want to tell everybody, right? Well, David experienced something, and everything within him screams and shouts, oh, the happiness of the man who is forgiven. Oh, the blessedness of the truly forgiven. Notice the word blessed is used twice. Now, when the Bible uses a word two times, it's not because the Holy Spirit is short of words and he's just trying to fill the Bible. That's why he repeats it. He repeats it for emphasis. So David is telling us through the Holy Spirit that the blessed man is truly the man who is forgiven. Believe it or not, the word translated blessed, asherei in the Hebrew, also means happiness. That is true happiness as God defines it and desires it for you and me. Not as the world defines it and desires it for you. For the world, happiness is dependent on happenings. Well, as far as God is concerned, happiness is far more than that. True happiness that comes from God is far more than just happenings. Folks, true happiness or blessedness is to be forgiven. Why? It is an emotion that defies description. It is the relief of an enormous burden lifted from your life, of a debt canceled, of a conscience at rest. Why? The Bible tells us guilt is gone, warfare is ended, peace is enjoyed. Anyone who experienced the forgiveness of God has a conscience that is at rest. He has peace in his or her heart. Please, I want you, if you talk again, you'll be removed. Okay? You see, what did we say at the beginning of the service? That you should respect?
I respect you.
Sir. Okay. No more talk, please.
Okay.
You see, the blessedness is a truly happy condition of those who revere the Lord and do His will and who put their trust in Him. The source of this blessedness, as the psalm tells us, is not from David. The source of this blessedness comes from the God of forgiveness, who willingly forgives the sinner who humbly and honestly turns to Him. And what a blessing it is to be forgiven. Please never forget the lesson that God freely, fully, and faithfully forgives the humble sinner who honestly confesses his sin or her sin to Him. The word for blessed here, as used here, is not first of all to health or wealth, but to the assurance that those who do God's will live under the protection and faithful care of the gracious Lord of life. Many times when we talk about blessing, we talk about health, we talk about wealth, gold, silver, bronze, riches. But the blessedness the Bible is speaking of here is something far more than the riches of this world. It is talking about the assurance that I have that I am under God's protection. I am under God's care. God is for me. God is with me. God who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. That is the blessedness the Bible is speaking of here. Because if you have that blessedness, no one can steal your joy, your peace, and your future that is with God. Now please listen. The Holy Spirit is teaching us an important lesson here. And what is that lesson? The forgiven are truly blessed. And I want you to say that with me. The forgiven are truly blessed. Say it. Forgiven are truly blessed. You see, the forgiving The forgiving man or the forgiving woman is truly blessed. David expresses here the joy of forgiveness, the blessedness, the true happiness of a man or a woman whose sins have been forgiven and covered. So the question to you today is, do you see yourself as truly blessed because you have personally experienced the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Do you find yourself expressing the joy of forgiveness? Are you among the forgiven? Are you among those who have unshakable confidence that Jesus has given them complete forgiveness of their sins on the basis of what he did on the cross? Are you one of those today? Or are you still living in the dark prison of the devil who never promises forgiveness for your sins? And who never forgive even the smallest of your sins? Are you telling me tonight that you want to live your entire life on earth without experiencing the true happiness of being forgiven and receiving complete forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Are you saying you don't really care about experiencing the joy and blessedness of being forgiven, of your sins being covered, of your sins being put away completely? Friend, I tell you, that is what you are saying every time you turn your nose up at a call to repent and receive the free and full forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay in full your sin debt and mine, in order for you to be forgiven by him. Anytime you refuse the call to repent and receive forgiveness, you are telling us, or you are telling God, that you really don't care about that blessing of experiencing the joy of forgiveness. Now, please notice that David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses three key Old Testament words for sin. They are the three most common Old Testament words for evil thoughts and actions. He mentions them in verses 1 and 2, and then verse 5. So the first word is transgression. Pesha. Someone says, what is transgression? Well, I'm glad you've asked. This is breaking loose or tearing away from God. It is the technical term for willful deviation from the path of righteousness. It is premeditated crossing of the line of God's law. It is a rebellious act of rejecting God's authority over your life. It is a revolt. Have you transgressed against God in any of these ways today? Well, the second word is sin. It is a deviation from that which is well-pleasing to God. It is therefore an offense or a failure. And many of us have failures in our lives. But God is promising here there is no failure he can forgive. Well, the third word David uses is iniquity, avon. It is a depraved action, a perversion, distortion, a fault, or misdeed. The Bible says you are a blessed man or you are a blessed woman when God forgives your past misdeeds, your depraved actions, your failures and deviations from that which is well-pleasing to God. When he forgives your rebellion and revolt against God, you are blessed. It's like the Bible is saying there is no sin in your life or my life that God cannot forgive. Why? He wants to forgive sinners. Forgiveness, as I've said earlier, has always been part of his loving nature. He announced it to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. He revealed it to David, and he dramatically showed it to the world through Jesus Christ. So what else do you want God to do before you take him seriously and bring your sins to him? So that you can be forgiven, your sins can be covered, put away as far as the east is from the west. Well, just as the Holy Spirit led David to use three key words for sin, so also he led him to employ three important terms for forgiveness. That is why this psalm is called a maskil. It's a skillful psalm. We see the pattern, the order in which David is teaching us through the Holy Spirit. He uses three words for sin. Now he's going to use three words to describe forgiveness. Well, the first term is forgiven. It's from the Hebrew verb nasa. This means a lifting up and taking away of sin. So God comes and lift up that sin from your life and then takes it away. The second term is covered, kasa. It means to conceal, to hide, to forgive, so that your sin or mine becomes invincible to God, the Holy One, as though it had never taken place. I tell you, folks, when God covers your sins, he graciously blots it out, as if it had never taken place. That is mind-boggling to me. You say, why is it mind-boggling to you? Well, you see, God sees everything. He knows everything. He's everywhere. The Bible tells us even darkness and light are alike to him. Yet when God forgives my sins, it becomes invisible to him. He covers it with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as if it had never taken place. That, to me, is mind-boggling. Well, the third term is does not impute. Lo kashav. The Hebrew verb kashav was an accounting term, meaning to count, to reckon, to number, to think, to make judgment. And the principal idea here is that of using the mind in the activity of thinking. It is as if David was picturing God sitting on his glorious and holy throne, making a careful calculations regarding the sins of David. When he finishes his calculation, his careful and thorough calculations, word came from God to David saying, there is no iniquity on your account. All your sin debt has been settled. To you, I do not reckon any misdeed. No wonder David felt so elated and expressed the joy of being forgiven. As he thought of the sins he committed, adultery, murder, lying, all those things in one package. Word came to David that God make a thorough calculation and it's been forgiven. I tell you, folks, a man or a woman blessed is if the Lord does not condemn him or her for his sins or her sins. Now the question is, what sins is the Holy Spirit convicting you of right now? Alcoholism? Adultery? Anger? Arrogance? Blaming others for your wrong? Bullying others? Cheating? Carousing? Drunkenness? Drug abuse? Degrading passions? Disobedience? Deceit? Disputes? Envying? Evil schemes? Gossiping, gambling, hatred, hostility toward God, as was demonstrated here, indecent acts, insolence, malice, murder, slander, strife, shoplifting, sexual morality, pride, prejudice. I tell you, friends, according to Psalm 32, you can experience the joy of forgiveness, even as David experienced it, if you humbly and honestly confess your sins to Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross to pay for your sin debt and mine. Please notice at the end of verse 2, the Bible tells us, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now you see, before David experienced the joy of forgiveness, he was deceiving himself. He was denying his sins. He was hiding his sins. He was harboring his sins in his heart. He was excusing his sins. He was explaining away his sins. As long as David was excusing and explaining away his sins, he didn't experience the joy of forgiveness. And as long as he was deceiving himself and denying his sins, he didn't enjoy the blessing of being forgiven. Please, I urge you today not to repeat David's mistake. Don't deceive yourself about your sins today. Don't excuse your sins. Come to Jesus today. Why? He's willing to forgive you all your sins and give you a clean slate. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has convicted you of sin in your life tonight, do what David did. Confess it and let the Holy Spirit bless your life today with the joy of forgiveness. God will smile upon you and then open other doors of blessing into your life. But you have to take that first step of asking Jesus to forgive your sin as a believer. And if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can begin to experience a life of experiencing and enjoying the blessedness of forgiveness this very moment. How? Well, you simply come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to go home and clean up. Just come to Jesus as you are. Confess to Jesus that you are a sinner desperately in need of his forgiveness. And call upon the name of Jesus with childlike trust to save you. And the Bible says you will be saved and made new and a new creation in Jesus Christ. So it is up to you tonight if you want to experience the joy of forgiveness and let God open other doors of blessing in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. You come here and confess your sins to Jesus Christ. You come forward. If you want to kneel down, whatever you want to do, follow the leading of the Spirit. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, tonight is the night for you to begin the journey of enjoying and experiencing the blessedness of forgiveness. You come to me here, and I'll pray for you. So the door is opened. It is up to you to respond.